Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to another Bite Side. I'm Seamus Byrne. You might have heard from me very recently on this podcast feed, a matter of hours, minutes. You know, by the time you're looking at this, you might even discover that they're right here side by side in your podcast feed because you've been lazy over the weekend and you're just catching up on Monday. Whenever it might be, welcome. This is a show about tech and games and popular culture and digital culture and all those things. And we are doing a part two of new console discussions. And this time we're talking PlayStation 5. And joining me for this chat is Alice Clark. Alice, how are you since we caught up all those times ago?
Oh, golly, so different.
Yes.
My goodness. I'm old now with a beard.
Yeah, and different hair or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that happens with age.
Things happened. Look, PlayStation 5, exciting. And right, there's this magical weirdness of the fact that after 7 years of generations that everybody drops their new things at almost literally the same moment in time, including the timings of their embargoes and when we're allowed to talk about things. I have not been hands-on with the new PlayStation 5. You have. How are you vibing about it so far?
I really like it. I like it a lot. It is somewhat similar to the PS4 still, except the controller is completely different and the menu music is different. I'm not sure how they did it, but it kind of sounds like you're at a spa in a haunted house. Like, you're calm, but you're unsettled and you don't know why.
You're like, I should be prepared for anything.
Yeah.
But it's also a soothing thing. I mean, that sounds like video games, right? Soothing, but prepared for anything.
But like, literally, it sounds like the music they play at a spa. Like, I don't know what kind of composer they got for this, but that's definitely something.
Music from the haunted spa. Cool.
Yeah. I was really happy that the giant console actually fit in my entertainment unit. I was not certain that it would.
I mean, does this sound like the PlayStation 6 is going to be, you know,
a surfboard?
Yeah, right? Like, the scaling up is quite miraculous. Is it about like just heat sinks and space for air? Like, is it heavy to kind of hold compared to the
others? Haven't taken it apart yet, and while I have done a photo shoot cradling the Xbox like a baby, I have not yet cradled the PlayStation. So I picked it up and I remember going, that feels like a PlayStation, but I didn't really try and do like bicep curls with it. It is, I'm noticing, getting a little bit hotter than my Xbox did.
Oh.
Which I found interesting.
Yeah.
But not, like, it's not sounding like a jet engine like my original PS4 did.
So, look, yeah, when we talked yesterday, let's use that term for when we last spoke, about the Xbox, there was that sense of this is about, you know, this really cool kind of continuity story of Xbox and being this like living room PC and this sort of iteration and all that. Like, what are your feelings about PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5 in the experience?
So what's so exciting kind of about this console generation is that while for so long the Xbox and the PlayStation seem to have been jostling for that same spot on the shelf, they've now kind of diverged. Like, they've got their own recognizable identities and brands and what they're trying to do. And Xbox is the console for everyone. Everyone can play. It is for families. It's got everything you want. It's very, it's affordable. Nintendo's out here being weird as hell in the best possible way.
Yeah.
And now PlayStation's gone kind of in the middle of that. It's weird as hell. It's the most immersive console ever with the controller. And it's all about that immersive single player experience, that premium expensive experience. And I think it's neat. Like, obviously not the expensive part, but the way that they're actually trying to do something different.
Yeah.
Now, what's exciting about the controller is that developers can program the resistance on the triggers. So as your character gets tighter, it gets harder to push them down. Or if... Am I allowed to talk about this game yet? Hang on, pause for 1 second.
Okay. Check an
embargo. Okay. So when you're playing Miles Morales Spider-Man, you can feel on the trigger when your web connects to the building and you can feel when it lets go. And as he's fighting and getting tired, like, it does get harder to press them down.
That is
and
so
it's
good.
Just cool. It's so cool.
I love that.
And, like, it uses the touchscreen to, like, swipe through an app, which is nice. And in Astro's Playroom, which is the kind of tech demo for the controller that comes with all the consoles, like the Wii Sports of PlayStation, but not as fun. It really takes you through just how the different resistances can be used and the different zones of vibration throughout the whole controller can just be amazing. And I really hope developers use that beyond this first 6 months, because same as how the touchscreen eventually just became one very large button.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to become too much effort and it's going to be something that'll be ignored by everybody except for first party publishers, but it's very cool.
See, I could really see like EA embracing this in sports games and stuff. Again, when you're talking about those kind of fatigue factors and different elements that they're giving someone, that feedback is like so different to other kinds of cues that someone might try to set up. And, you know, there's definitely that worry that because they make the kinds of games that are cross-platform games that they might decide not to bother. But you kind of feel like they
use.
Yeah.
Like, NBA 2K21's taking advantage of it. So that's going to be in there for fatigue as well.
Yeah. No, that's like, I love this stuff. And again, it's like, it's just that genuine feeling of a next generation of that haptics kind of thing, right? Where it's, okay, we've had Rumble for decades now. That's all well and good. We get what that feels like. And again, I kind of wasn't like the Rumble in the, you know, in the new Xbox Series X controller. I sort of just thought, well, yep, it's, you know, it's Rumble.
It's the same.
Whereas like, it's nothing. That's the thing that I've been looking forward to experiencing with DualSense is that, hearing just about these triggers and the different ways in which it can, oh, like, I love the idea of the web slinging having that kind of feedback.
It's just neat. Like, yeah. You feel like you're more a part of it. Like, I felt definitely more connected to the games I played on PlayStation that had DualSense stuff enabled than I did anything I played on Xbox.
Yeah. And so do you feel like, because look, in my head, I'm like, I don't, again, we're saying how, well, you don't really need an Xbox out of the gate, but with a game like Miles Morales coming out, that is so giving me those vibes. I'm like, I think I really want to have a PlayStation 5 so I can play this game.
Yeah. You do. Like, you can play it on PS4,
yeah,
and it'll be fine. But it is something that, like, okay, if you really love this game, you need to play it on PS5. It's not super long, though. Like, yeah, it's not as long as the original Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
It was never going to be.
Yeah.
It's still longer than I expected.
Yeah. And just being able to, you know, web sling around town is half the fun of... I just open world those games to just go slinging and hanging out in town.
So I haven't gotten the remastered version of the original Spider-Man yet, but I'm now wondering if that's got the same DualSense stuff.
Oh, that would be nice.
Because that would be so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to
that. That is an exciting feature that genuinely feels like, look, and I kind of, I can't say who, but I kind of at one point, it's probably 18 months or so ago, that I had sort of someone pretty senior in the wider industry express to me how they felt like the raw power of PlayStation 5 was going to kind of blow people's socks off with you know, that whole kind of competitive space of, you know, Xbox versus PlayStation, that just that kind of raw gaming power that is going to be in the PlayStation was going to be so amazing. It's like, apart from, you know, those sorts of features, like, is there anything else about it that sort of stands out? But, I mean, in itself, I do feel like that it's kind of cool that the controller itself might actually be something that really sort of shows off what actually a whole new generation can do.
Oh, yeah. The controller is what this is all about. Things load fast and they look pretty. Unfortunately, the only two next-gen games I've had to play on PS5 have been Astro's Playground and Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man has, it's obviously, it's not a full release build yet. There's still quite a few bugs. Like sometimes skin is weird.
Right.
Like a Twilight vampire. And there's a lot of weird audio things. Like for a while, I just had Miles' uncle yelling, "Miles, watch out!" every about 15 to 20 seconds.
Right.
For like a long time. Which probably all this is going to be patched out by the time you get to play it. This is just one of those fun game journalism things.
Yeah.
The adventures.
Yep.
But so I haven't really gotten to take full advantage of what next gen can do, which is the same as on Xbox. There, like aside from Yakuza Like a Dragon and Dirt 5, there weren't really any next gen games to play for a very long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I know the Xbox Series X a lot better than I know the PS5 because I had the Series X for more than a month and I've had the PS5 for a bit more than a week.
Yeah. Are there any other bits of like interface that sort of stand out as different? Are we still on the, do they still call it the cross media bar or whatever the kind of the latest version of the media bar system?
I have no
is?
Idea what they call it. It's slightly different.
Yeah.
It's still the same general idea, but it looks sleeker. Graphic designers had a lot of fun with it.
Cool.
The way you shut it down is different. So like when you hold down the PlayStation button, instead of just getting the three power options, you get like a little menu bar at the bottom of your game and you can like jump into a different game or you can look at trophies or you can just like scroll all the way across to power.
Hmm.
So that's neat.
And look, I think it's worth pointing out as well that with this sort of the quick play and sort of quick resume type features and the faster loading, some people, I think, kind of downplay it a bit as saying it's not that good, whereas I think there is a lot to be said from my own perspective on, like, again, time poor adult that wants to just sit down and play games when I have that moment to play them. Mm. This stuff is actually important.
Yeah, I think a lot of people poo-poo stuff like Xbox's quick resume. It's like, oh, that's just for people who can't decide what they want to play. It's like, no, it's for people who can decide what they want to play. But yesterday they want to play a racing game. Today they want to go on an RPG adventure. And tomorrow they want to play basketball, but they don't want to wait for any of it to load.
Yeah. Or like one thing, a classic would be for me, go, oh, I just want to, you know, do some driving around in Forza. And then some friends come online and go, oh, yeah, we're jumping into Destiny. You know, and like that ability to then kind of go, oh, cool, I just want to quickly hang out with my friends and play that game that they're playing right now. And that, you know, and then, oh, then they drop off and you could then go back and have one more little race or something, knowing that you don't have to kind of go, okay, I'll just, actually, I'm calling it. Yeah.
Or like you get frustrated with a puzzle in one game and you are ready to smash the controller and possibly everything you own. And you're like, let's just take a moment and do some Tony Hawk.
That is a great point.
Yeah. That's important too.
That is a really good point. That like that there's some of those, like the Tony Hawks of the world, that there are those games where you sort of think, that's just a nice, just swap over there to chill. Like that having those ready to go does make a huge difference. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Game sorbet in 20 seconds as opposed to having to wait like 5-6 minutes.
Yeah.
Like getting what you need when you need it. Like we're an impatient generation.
Yeah.
Well, generations. It's an impatient time. We want to do things right now, even if we can't go anywhere.
Yes. So I guess some kind of wrap up for this one. In general, I mean, just in its own terms, if you're a PlayStation user, are you feeling like people need this right now? Or again, is it it's awesome, but it's okay to chill for a while?
Look, it's okay to wait, but unlike how on PlayStation, say on Xbox, all you're missing is a slower loading time, on PlayStation, you are actually missing out on a more immersive, better experience. The DualSense controller is really what it's all about. You can't get one anyway, so that's sad. And most games will still be released on PS4 for a while, but it really, this is the PlayStation that you want to be playing it on. This is the experience you want. Like, I'm probably going to start requesting more of my codes on PlayStation than I would have before.
Yeah.
Just because of DualSense.
Oh, that's a really great point to make. And so, yeah, there's almost that sense that someone will be able to enjoy some bragging rights between like now and, you know, Christmas window of console releases if they've got their pre-order heading their way. And that's what gamers want sometimes. They want to be able to say they've got the cool new thing and that it has made a difference to their gaming experience.
Yeah, like that's why we have podcasts.
Yes, exactly. So in a comparison sense, then, to kind of wrap up this little pair of shows, is there, what's, like, do you have thought, because they are separating themselves now, and that's kind of, it is, it's a positive thing. If you're someone who, you know, like people like us kind of end up with both of them, and there's plenty of people who enjoy having both, so that'll make sense, but
it makes more sense to have both now than it has really ever before.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, it's now more defined. I would say your Xbox console is for families or people who want to play, have more than one person using the console, either at a time or segmented, whereas the PlayStation is, you want an immersive single-player experience. You want to be able to play that game with no distractions. This is what you play for a long time and you enjoy it. That is who the PlayStation is for.
You know what kind of strikes me? I'm like, my brain is just something I feel like a great combo would probably be get a PlayStation 5 for all the super high-end stuff and get a Series S as your
absolutely
Xbox Game Pass machine that just, it's like, it's about having the access to the stuff at a minimal reduction of the sort of experience, and then you just get your tentpole AAA action on your PlayStation 5.
But that depends on whether or not you already own games from the original Xbox and the 360 on discs.
Yeah.
Because that backwards compatibility with that disc drive means I'm so happy I held on to my old games collection, or at least most of it.
Yeah.
Because you can just go back and experience some of the good stuff and see that it now actually sucks.
Yes.
Graphics have moved on. It looks terrible now. All of your memories need to be remastered before you experience them again. But you have the option, and that's important.
Yeah. I definitely have a little section in the cupboard, which is the, here's my all-time favorite old games that I have clung on to. There is that nice feeling of going, it was worth it. I can feed them into a machine again. You know, the ones that weren't already kind of, you know, it's hooked up with back compatibility things. I'm excited to do that. But look, I feel like, is the final answer that it's like, well, welcome to the smorgasbord of nice things that we all kind of win in the end? I think that's a nice place to finish in a sense.
Yeah. Like finally in 2020, there's too many good options. Like what other time of year, like this year, has there been too many good things that you want to do? This is great.
In 2020, this is the only moment. Welcome, everybody. This is your perfect...
Enjoy this feeling.
The perfect storm. And look, yeah, for me personally, in a few weeks, I even get a new World of Warcraft. So, you know, like everything is coming up trumps in November.
Let's not use
except
that word.
For, I know, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I'm like... Well, yeah, hopefully by the time this comes out, we'll know one way or the other for that business too. Thank you, Alice. This has been fun, and hopefully people feel deeply informed and they can rush out to pre-order their consoles that will arrive in February 2021 at this stage.
Thanks for having me. Everybody, happy playing. I hope you get the console you want.
Cheers. And hey, tell listeners where they can find your stuff on the internet if they want to find more cool things from Alice.
You can find me on Twitter at AliceDKC. You can also read me on Biteside and in the Age / Sydney Morning Herald. And I have a weekly column in the Herald Sun that goes national, I think. And also a bunch of other places. I'm everywhere.
Find me on Twitter. Thank you, Alice. And thank you, listeners. And we will catch you again real soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.